Take your Bibles and you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he spoke to them about the events associated the mystery of the events associated with the last trumpet. And it says here in chapter 15, verse 51 of 1 Corinthians, well, in verse 50 it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So there is a mystery regarding the last trumpet. And the mystery deals with a number of events. And what Paul was saying here is that, look, I'm going to show you some of this mystery. Now, mystery, mysterion in the Greek, is something that you can be fully initiated into. You can be taught it so that you become fully instructed. Few people today actually are fully instructed about the last trumpet. The last trumpet in the Word of God here is talking about the trumpet in the end times when Jesus Christ returns. And it refers to the last trumpet that we read of in the book of Revelation about this time ahead. And in the book of Revelation, it's opened up more that there are actually seven trumpets, and it's the seventh trumpet. So this is what we're going to look at tonight. So you turn to Revelation chapter 11. You know, something very interesting about this. Jericho fell down at the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And it's a foreshadowing of the Babylon, the kingdom, the mystery Babylon, the great Babylon of this world that's going to fall down at that time. And it's great instruction in that. So in Revelation chapter 11, and in verse 14 it says, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." Now, in the book of Revelation, we read about seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. But there are also three woes. The first woe is when the bottomless pit is opened, and lots of devil spirits that have been held in the bottomless pit are actually released on earth. And they torment men. And women for 5 months, all those who do not have the seal of God. The seal of God, the church, has been sealed already. We've been anointed by God. We've been sealed with the gift of Holy Spirit. So all in the church have already been sealed. There's also 144,000 of Israel who will be sealed. And you read that in Revelation chapter 6 or 7, I'm not sure which chapter it is. It's one of those. And the 144,000 at that point when they get sealed had not yet come to the Messiah. They were being sealed to go through the tribulation, and they were marked out by God that they would come to the Messiah. However, the first woe we read of a few chapters before here is when the bottomless pit is opened and devil spirits are let out, and they actually torment men. I mean, you can imagine devil spirits that have been sealed up for quite a number of thousands of years have been let out the bottomless pit or the abyss, and they operate in earth. And what God is doing there is he's showing man, unsaved man, he's showing them a taste of what is in store for them if they continue to refuse Jesus Christ, and actually then they side themselves with the lie, with the beast, the strong delusion, and they're going to go off following the man of sin, the son of perdition, into perdition itself. So God has given them a foretaste. It's not the whole reality, it's a foretaste for 5 months. If you want to get involved with devil spirits and follow the adversary, here's a foretaste of what it is. That's the first woe. The second woe, when we read here, it says it's past. The second woe is in relation to the two prophets and the plagues and the judgments that they bring. And again, it's a woe to mankind, to the earth dwellers, to those who live on the earth who are not saved. And then it says, the third woe cometh quickly. The third woe is invested in the seventh trumpet. Now we're going to read about the seventh trumpet in a moment. Now, the seventh trumpet is not a single event. There are many events wrapped up in the seventh trumpet. And it goes on. There's a few verses here, and then there are three chapters or two and a half chapters interposed, 12, 13, and part of 14, just to sort of give a greater explanation of the build-up of the events to the seventh trumpet. And then partway through the 14th chapter, it picks up again, and then it runs all the way through to chapter 20. Even to the point where the adversary is imprisoned. And that whole period is the seventh trumpet period. And it's sort of like half of the apocalypse. It's a huge portion of the book of Revelation. In verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. If we just go back a little bit, and if we go to, chapter 8, verse 2, it says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So each angel was given a trumpet to sound. Those seven angels, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 4, those seven angels are the governmental angels, those who administer judgment. These are mighty, powerful angels who administer the judgments of God during this period. And in chapter 1, verse 4, they're with God, they're with Jesus Christ, and with them they send peace and grace to the church. Let's just read it. Chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That's the Lord God Almighty, Jah. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The seven spirits, it says in Hebrews, that is angels and ministering spirits. Angels are spirits. And these are the seven spirits, the seven angels that are before the throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. You see, God, Jah, the seven angels, mighty angels who have a central part in dispensing God's judgments, and Jesus Christ, and they send grace and peace to the church so that we can go through this revelation period up to the seventh trumpet with grace and peace in our hearts. Jesus Christ said, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, lift your heads up. You know, don't have the fear of the world, have the peace of Christ. The judgments are not meant for the church. They're not meant to become on the faithful church. They're meant for the wicked. You know, the fire devours the adversaries. The unfaithful church, well, if the unfaithful church continues in its unfaithfulness and persists habitually in sin, all that's left is a fearful looking for of judgment which will devour the adversaries, it says in Hebrews. But we're not in that vein. We're going to walk in the faithful church. Okay. So, those seven angels, the seven spirits which are before the throne. Let's go back to chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And then we get to chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. So this is the last trumpet, the last of the seven. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You see, the issue here is one of sovereignty. And in the Old Testament, you read of records. When they used to crown the king, they used to blow the trumpet. Let's just take a look at that for a minute. If we go to if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 15, keep your finger there because we're coming straight back. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And it says in verse 10, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. See? It's all about coronation. It's all about kings reigning. There are other references, but for economy of time, we won't look there. But the seventh trumpet announces, well, there are many things, the mystery of the seventh trumpet. There are many things. Part of that mystery is unfolded in Corinthians, as we said, whereas if the last trumpet is that the dead in Christ are risen. And those who are alive and remain are caught up. The mortal puts on immortality. That's those people who are alive put on immortality. And those people who are dead, which is corruption, it means their bodies are corrupted. Corruption puts on incorruption. And that's part of the mystery of the seventh trumpet. There is a lot of instruction to understand about this. It's one of the huge milestones in God's plan of the ages. The sounding of that seventh trumpet is an enormous thing, because not only are we gathered together to Christ, not only are we risen from the dead if we're dead, or if we put on immortality if we're alive, not only are we gathered together to Christ, but it's the time when in the world that Jesus Christ is crowned king. And there's a lot more. So we're looking at this tonight to see the mystery of this seventh trumpet and all the things to get instructed in what happens. Verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. That's Jah. And of his Christ, that's Jesus. And he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty. This is Jah. This is the Almighty One. The Ancient of Days, the Father. Which art and wast, and art to come. Art to come is not in the text, it was added. because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. Up until this point, man, it's been man's day. This is the end of man's day. The seventh trumpet, another bit of learning, the seventh trumpet marks the difference between man's day and the day of the Lord. It's the wedge between the two. Man's day comes to an end. Man has been reigning. The Antichrist has been reigning for that final part of man's day. Yeah? And that seventh trumpet is sounded. And what do we read? It's sovereignty. It's God taking his reign. It's Christ being crowned king. You know? It's that separation of man ruling to God ruling. This is tremendous stuff. What a milestone in God's plan. How clear this is in the Word. And yet, our mind should never be fuzzy about this. We should have crystal clear thinking of what this is. Fully, clearly instructed in the mystery of the seventh trumpet. Getting instructed. Verse 17. Saying, this is the 24 elders. And by the way, the 24 elders, crazy interpretations, you know, the 24 elders always were around the throne. Certainly, and there are mistranslations in the Bible from the text about what they say about, I think it's in chapter 5 of Revelation. It says that, in some translations, that they say that they redeemed, Jesus Christ redeemed them to God as kings and priests. The texts don't say that. The translations are poor and they're wrong. The translations that purport that. These 24 elders do not need redemption. They don't need it. They are 24 heavenly beings, elders in the throne, the government of God. And we want to make them men. Well, the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats and fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which was, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged." This is huge. This is a whole load of events that are all going to happen in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. We'll come back. Just go to chapter 10, verse 7. It says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel." You see, the days, it's not one day, it's not one hour, it's not a flash of a moment. It's the days. The seventh angel blows that trumpet for days. We don't know how many days, but there are days. Yeah. And it says, when he shall begin to sound. So at the beginning of that sound, at the beginning of the sound, not the fifth day or the 25th day, but when he shall begin on the first day, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Paul spoke of that mystery of God in chapter 2, verse 2 of Colossians, saying that we should get to know it. Well, in chapter 11, in verse 18, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged." There's a whole list of events going on here. And it's all summarized in these verses. And then when you get to the later chapters, then you see it more fully explained about the nations being angry, about the nations trying to fight against God and against Jesus Christ. That thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great. And should destroy them that destroy the earth. This is huge. You know, here we've got We've got the war, the Antichrist marshalling the kings of the earth, devil spirits, kings of the earth, to come and fight against the Lamb. We're getting the wine press of the wrath of God being rolled out. Jesus Christ coming. The Old Testament is full of this. We're talking about rewards being given to the servants, about the dead being raised to life. Yeah. God and Jesus Christ destroying them which destroy the earth. You know, there are people to come who are going to literally be destroying the earth with the weapons of mass destruction. They're going to get destroyed themselves. And then verse 19 says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. The temple of God is the heavenly temple. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. In the temple. Who are the temple? We are. In that temple, it says that the ark of his testament. The ark of his testament relates to Israel. You understand? It relates to, you know, back in the days of Moses. It relates to Israel, the ark of the testament, where the promises to Israel are fulfilled. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and a grey hail. Yeah, this is rich. That's a quick summary, quick synopsis of everything that's going to roll out at the seventh trumpet. The next few chapters, or the next 2.5 chapters, are basically interposed into the word here to give us greater depth behind the events leading up to the seventh trumpet. Then you get to chapter 14. Talks about the 144,000. Oh my, oh my, oh my. What another. How much violence has been done to God's word on the 144,000. You know, all these crazy groups jumping up and down saying that it's the church, they're the right church and it's them. You know, they're Israel. It's Israel standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb. And they get the victory over the beast. They come to their Messiah. And it says that they're redeemed from amongst men. They're the first fruits of the earth. You know, first fruits of that time, because the church will have been gathered together prior to that. Yeah. Then it goes on and it talks in verse 8, chapter 14, verse 8, talks about looking at Babylon falling, being falling. So you're getting these big visions. And God, in explaining this in the book of Revelation and how it was given to Jesus Christ, to the angel, to John, it wasn't all given so chronologically. It was given in parts, and then the video would be rolled back, and then John would be shown it in greater depth. So all of this is composite. It needs to be put together. And some of it sort of mentions and it looks forward. I hear about falling is Babylon. And then a couple of chapters later, there's a whole description of Babylon falling. And then there's a whole description of what's happening beforehand and the build up to the events. Chapter 14. Verse 14, I suppose. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. He was this being was like the Son of Man. The angels are girded and look like the Son of Man in their brilliance, in their glory, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. It's the angels that come and reap. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. This is the good fruit. It's the good fruit being gathered together. And then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. Now this angel doesn't come and gather the good fruit. It gathers the bad fruit, or the thorns and the briars. It says, and another angel came out, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle. This is to the second angel now crying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for their grapes are fully ripe. This is the other fruit, the bad fruit. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horse's bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You see, in chapter 19, is, if we just go there, Jesus Christ is the one that when he is revealed, those grapes of the earth, the second lot that are cast into the winepress, he's the one. Jesus Christ is the one who comes and treads that winepress with the saints, the church. Verse 15 of chapter 19. And out of his mouth, this is out of Jesus Christ's mouth, in his glorified, revealed body, revealed to the world, goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. There it is. You see how this pieces together? This is all the seventh trumpet. Now, if we go back to chapter 15, sorry, chapter 11, big pardon. Verse 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. The third woe is the heavy, there are two sides to the seventh trumpet. As we've seen, the two gatherings of fruit, there are two, there's the glory side, the rejoicing side, the kingdoms of this earth are come, the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and the time for the judgment to begin, the time for the wrath of God to be poured out. So there's a rejoicing about Jesus Christ taking the his rightful reign, taking his position as earth's rightful ruler. Yet the flip side of that are all those who are on the side to receive judgment. The wine press of the wrath of God. So there are two parts to the mystery of the seventh trumpet. There is one part which is for the saints, for the faithful and for Israel. And then there's the other part, which is all judgment and the winepress. The woe, the third woe, deals with a whole judgment. And where it leads to, what the seventh trumpet opens up, are what's called the seven bowls, which is the 100% fierceness of the wrath of God. It's the fullness of the wrath of God. And that's the third woe that is revealed during the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Chapter 15, verse 1. Remember the seven angels stood before the throne of God, Jesus Christ, God, and they sing grace and peace. And then chapter 8, the seven angels are given the trumpets. Trumpet each, the seventh angel eventually sounds, and here we are. And then the same seven angels who administered the judgments, now, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. These seven bowls are the fullness of the wrath of God. The seven angels send peace and grace from with God and Jesus Christ to the church in chapter 1. In chapter 8, they stand before the throne and they receive the seven trumpets. And here, in heaven, the seven angels are given seven bowls or vials, and in them they're full up with the wrath of God. It's the fullness of the wrath of God. What does the fullness of the wrath of God look like? It's the third woe. It's the woe upon woes. And it talks then about those who have got victory over the beast. And then it says in the seven angels, verse 6, came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts, that's actually living creatures, around the throne, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And I heard a great voice, chapter 16. Verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And then we read what the pouring out of the seven vials, the seven bowls, and they're the most heaviest judgments that there are of God. And that's where in verse 15 or verse 14 it says, the latter part of that, these devil's bits go out to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. There is a battle of the great day. Verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, lest they see his shame. And he gathered them into a place called in Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel, we've missed the other six pouring them out, but the seventh angel poured out his vial or bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and that's a convulsion, and so great. I just want to link something up here. Let's just read that again. Verse 18, and there were voices and thunderers and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Go back to chapter 11, verse 19. Keep your finger there. And the temple of God, this is chapter 11, verse 19. This is the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant. He's going to fulfill all the promises to Israel. And there were what? Lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. See how it's tied in? This is the seventh trumpet. This is the mystery of the seventh trumpet. This is being instructed and getting real clear understanding all about that seventh trumpet. There's an aspect of it that at that last trump, we shall be changed and gathered together to Christ. Christ, there'll be great voices in heaven that man's day is over with. God has now appointed Christ to rule. The angels gather. It's gathered everybody up, and I've gathered the good fruit, the gathering together, and then gathered the bad fruit, and the bad fruit is cast into the winepress of the wrath of God. The winepress of the wrath of God is the third woe, is of the seven bowls of wrath. Jesus Christ and the saints, the faithful members of the body of Christ, tread the winepress of the wrath of God through the seven bowls. With that, the fullness of the wrath of God is in it. It's powerful. It's really, really powerful. This is all in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. It's mighty stuff. Let's just take a little excursion into the Old Testament. There is loads about this period of time in the Old Testament. Absolutely loads of it. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 26. And in verse 20, it says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignations be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." You know, serious time ahead. Take a look at Zephaniah. This is an enlightening one. Keep going towards the end of the Old Testament, after Ezekiel and Daniel. Zephaniah. It's after Habakkuk and Nahum, and it's before Haggai and Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 1. This is the vengeance of Jah. Verse 14. "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung." Their blood in that day would be poured out as dust, and their flesh would be counted as dung. Their flesh won't be, there won't be sanctity of life in that day. Their flesh will be poured out like dung, as if it's excrement. Its value will be treated as dung. That's the vengeance that is coming. "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver. Shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." Yeah, it's powerful. Very, very powerful. This is all, there's lots more, but this is all speaking about the time of the seventh trumpet of the third woe, of the judgments, of the bowls of wrath being poured out. Up until that point where you've had the seven trumpets, sure, you've had two woes, but they've been nothing compared to the third woe. The third woe is the woe to end all woes, because it's the fullness of the wrath of God. And this is the mystery of the seventh trumpet. Let's go back to Revelation. chapter 19. And after these things, this is after seeing the fall of Mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great. And Babylon will spread all over the world. Indeed, it's even here with us today. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. This is unto Jah, the Almighty One, our Father. You know, salvation, glory, honor, and power. True and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, the mystery Babylon, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. Alleluia actually is praise Jah. Literally praise Jah. Praise Jah. Praise Jah. That's the cry in the heavens. The seventh trumpet will sound. The judgments, or the positives of the great side, is we'll be gathered together. We'll be gathered together to Christ. Wonderful. The dead in Christ will rise, will be rewarded. The mystery of God will be finished. But the days of the sound of the seventh trumpet carry on. And the judgment on mystery, great Babylon, bad fruit of the earth, cast into the winepress of wrath of God. And the third woe, the whole fullness of God through the seven angels are poured out, and Jesus Christ treads that winepress. You know, he comes back with the angels in flame and fire. And it says that we'll come to it in a minute, about those people who are with him, the called, the chosen, the faithful. Not the unfaithful church, but the faithful. Here, after all these judgments are being poured out, the voices in the heavens of the saints, what is it? Alleluia. Praise Jah. Praise him. Praise Jah. Jah, the Father of Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him. Praise Jah. That's what it's going to be. In that day, people will be using the name of our Father. They will be speaking his name with great rejoicing in their hearts because of what God has done. It's enormous. You know, the unfolding of that seventh trumpet, when God takes his reign to end man's day, and now is the day of the Lord, and it's the day when the Lord does the reign and does the judging. And he's appointed Jesus Christ as earth's rightful ruler. And the cry is, Alleluia, praise Jah, literally praise Jah. And in verse 5, let's read it. Let's go back to verse 1. Chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Praise Jah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. It's with us today, this mystery Babylon, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Praise Jah. And his smoke, Mystery Babylon, rose up forever and ever, never to be seen anymore. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts or living creatures fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, So be it. Praise Jah. Even the 24 elders, Praise Jah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, praise Jah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The wife of the Lamb is Israel. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God's Testament, is for Israel. That's opened up. Hey, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll be there. We'll be there. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be with Christ, seeing the bridegroom and the bride wed. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou doest not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of truth, spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. This is all part of the seventh trumpet. This is all part of the mystery, you know, of the seventh trumpet. After tonight, we will know the mystery of the seventh trumpet. We'll be instructed. This is Jesus Christ. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. It's not his own. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the seven bowls, of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, and both small and great. There's another part to the mystery of the seventh trumpet. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with his flesh. Carrying on, this is still the seventh trumpet. And I saw, remember, the seventh trumpet, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. The seventh trumpet, the walls of Babylon the Great are going to come tumbling down. All of the nations, all of the cities, the fortified cities, as we read in Isaiah, and the high towers, they ain't going to stand. They ain't going to stand. They're all going to fall down. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, man's wickedness, mystery Babylon the Great, which has corrupted the earth, it's all good. It says it's going to become a wasteland. It's a desolation. It's all going to be razed to the ground. The mystery of the seventh trumpet. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. The key this time is to lock the bottomless pit off. But before he does, he says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And then it talks about the thrones and them that sat on them and putting thrones in the earth. And as well, what's not mentioned there, but it's in the Old Testament, is all of the devil spirits, when the adversary is bound and thrown into the abyss, the bottomless pit or the abyss, Abyssos, all of the devil spirits that are around are all cast. They all follow him into the pit. I think that's in Isaiah, but it's in the Old Testament. All of them go. So there are no devils during the 1,000-year reign of Christ until the very end when the adversary is let out. This is the seventh trumpet. It's massive. It's huge. What an amazing part of God's word. What an amazing part. The mysteries associated with the seventh trumpet. Amazing, amazing. And where are we in that day? We're amongst those who are saying, praise Jah, praise Jah. So Father, Jah Almighty, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it. Father, for instructing us and making us wise with your word so that we understand these matters. Thank you, Father, that you do have a plan for the body of Christ. You do have a separate plan for the house of Israel. And it'll all converge in Christ, Father, the day to come. Father, we look to that time and we know the score. We look to that time when your judgments indeed are all poured out and the winepress, the wrath of God, is tread in this earth. And Father, that the establishment of your Son's kingdom is here on earth. Father, we look to that great day. And we know, Father, that you've called us, that we've got a part to play, that we have an inheritance in that kingdom. Father, what a day to look forward to. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And just before we close, I want to just read this. In Psalm 2, talking about that very time, the seventh trumpet. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against Jehovah or Yahweh, and against his anointed Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. These are the seven bowls, the third woe, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, all of it to earth's rightful ruler Christ. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. That wrath kindling but a little are the days of the trumpets, before the final sounding of the seventh trumpet, the last woe. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And there's another part before we finish in Psalm 45. Or maybe it's not Psalm 45. Let me just get the reference. Psalm 46. Verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts, it's the Jah of armies, the heavenly host, is with us, with Israel. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That'll be Israel's declaration in that time. So, the mystery of the seventh trumpet.